So there. This is Mae Brussel. This, as I said before, is KAZUFM, Pacific Grove, California. And this is program number 595. It's May the 2nd, 1983. And the year is almost half over. Can you believe that one? It's hard to believe. Okay. A year ago this evening, what were we talking about? What was I talking about on World Watchers? That was May 2nd, 1982. I was explaining again the importance of the Falklands and Antarctica, the testing ground for space stations, a quotation from National Geographic in 1968, the Board of Trustees of National Geographic, Chief Justice Earl Warren of the Warren Commission, Juan Tripp of Pan Am, and talking about the political appointees going down the board of directors of National Geographic. A story, an article that was in National Geographic about Antarctica having its own atomic energy, how they have fresh water down there, the importance of Antarctica to the general conspiratorial theme and the hope eventually put in many books of the use of Antarctica for space stations and the belief that it is used by many people down there already. And the closeness of Antarctica to Argentina, and he was talking about the Minsk radio factory and the connections of Lee and Marina Oswald to Argentina a year ago, and also saying, watch out for Alexander Haig, that he was under attack. And, of course, shortly after that week, when he came home from England in June of 1982, he was taken out of the cabinet position by Ronald Reagan. He was playing a double-dealing game back and forth between the Argentina people. He's close to Licio Gelli, who was down there at the time, who had fled from Italy for various tax scandals running into the billions of dollars. And because of the Masonic Lodge scandal, the International Nazi Odessa Network. At the time last year, J. Peter Grace was under fire. He was given a position to investigate for the United States government ways to cut costs for the government. I haven't had a chance yet to put on this program his conclusions, which are horrendous, but maybe I'll do that next week or so. He figured out how to cut costs. That's pretty good. This last week, May 3rd, 1983, I had this story in National Examiner. They put the title wrong. Did FBI program assassin to kill John Lennon? It was actually the CIA COINTEL program. The FBI is part of that operation, but they do other things in terms of not investigating these conspiracies and Mark David Chapman, but it was the Defense Department that traveled Mr. Mark David Chapman around more than the FBI. But that was in the National Examiner last week. They come and go so fast. If you don't have it, write to me, self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll send you a copy of the article. Also, I made a mistake last week. I offered copies of the article on Hitler's escape to Antarctica. That's 50 pages, and it costs $10 with the postage and envelope to cover it. And I forgot to say that that is the cost that it is for me to have these copies, unless somebody can think of a way to get it done cheaper. I do have to charge for copying and for mailing those out. The Sunday London Times last Sunday, April 24th, had a front-page story. It was right under the Hitler diary that we're going into in a few minutes. It was a huge story. It was 1¼ inches large on the front page. Sophia Link snaps. This is the story. The Italian legal authorities now admit there is no decisive proof involving Sergei Antonov, A-N-T-O-N-O-V, a Bulgarian airline employee in the plot to kill the Pope 2 years ago. His release is believed to be imminent, according to writer George Armstrong. Antonov was arrested solely on the testimony of Ali Aja, the Turk serving a life sentence for the shooting, who was promised he'd get a lighter sentence if he told who he worked with. So he picked a KGB Bulgarian connection, and then the headlines carried it for months and months. I have a mile of articles on it, one on top of the other, or a pile of them, and just a little story now coming out. As soon as they made the connections of Aja to the Central Intelligence Agency, and we're going to bring home the agents of the CIA, because they were involved and were exposed, then the London Times finally had a story. The links are broken in this story. Also, another story from the San Francisco Examiner, a secret cabal in arms, drugs, assassinations. This has to do with the same revelations coming out now, a global ring in arms, drug, and assassinations. Milan, Italy, the world's most powerful underground arms ring, is operated from northern Italy. Now, this is the story that broke in November of 1982 about Henry Arsan, H-E-N-R-I-A-R-S-A-N. But one thing it leaves out of this story, because it's written by Bernard D. Kaplan, he's the Michael Ledeen, he's taking over Ledeen's job now. He talks about the big plot and tells a lot in the story, but he doesn't mention in the story that Arsan's offices were in Banco Ambrosiano, where Roberta Calvi was the president of the bank, the fellow that was hung in London last June, and his secretary went flying out the window last June. But he says the smuggling ring sounds like something drawn from a James Bond thriller, a secret organization staffed partially by former intelligence agents. Now, that's pretty good. They're getting into the intelligence of Italy. They furnish the most modern deadly weapons to the highest bidder. In addition, they have connections with international drug traffickers and planners of the 1981 assassination attempt on the Pope. So they have a secret organization, the assassination of the Pope, northern Italy in Milan, and he mentions Mr. Arsan. Evidence seized earlier this month, this is in April, by the Italians investigating this case points to the ring's existence. And the important thing about this story is that the newspaper in Italy said that 20 missiles were offered by this arms ring with a route down to Argentine at the time that Argentine was fighting Great Britain in the Falklands, and they link possibly with the knowledge of the French Secret Service. So you have intelligence agents and the French Secret Service. Palermo's probe, that's one of the judges looking into it, into the illicit arms trade, was said to involve several former Italian intelligence agents, as well as some from Western countries. That's your CIA, Italian intelligence, French Secret Service. Now we're getting a little more of this story. Okay, and they also have links to the Middle East. That's over to Lebanon with the drug traffic and so forth. Now, they're linking the attempted assassination on the Pope to the French intelligence and the Italian intelligence. Recently, Palermo, the investigator, entered Bulgaria to interrogate one of the people involved in this. I've mentioned before, Mr. Selenk, C-E-L-E-N-K, Selenk. But they could only talk about drugs. The investigator could not ask him about assassinations. Now, that's the important thing, is that many people ask about one or two instances on the periphery, but it's the assassinations that I'm interested in and study, but they weren't allowed to ask the primary witness about the assassinations or weapon smuggling, because that's where the weapon for Ajax came from, the Galen operation over in Germany. It was identified as coming from there and not from the KGB. In the past 3 years, this ring sold tens of millions of dollars worth of German-built Leopard tanks and Cobra helicopters to Iran. The Cobra helicopters are the Bell helicopters out of Fort Worth, the Texas area. Bell helicopter involved in Permandex and the murder of John Kennedy. It says they used the Italian port of Genoa. Arsan was among five defendants to be sentenced. He got a sentence of 18 years in prison, a fine of $150,000. So that's pretty good for another story on the subject, making it a little closer to the truth. Now, there were two deaths, just one in February and one in April, that are linked to this and very important. One came from the London Observer. Last Paris payoff for the Napoleon of crime. That's Dapper Eddie Zemur, Z-E-Y-M-U-R. He was gunned down in Florida, but he is part of the dope trade. And I might have mentioned his name on the air before. He's an important link to the international dope trade, the assassinations, and the gun running. So after the Ajax links began to come apart and fell to the CIA, then one of the top dogs who was in Miami was gunned down just in April. And so that he would be silenced. Another person who is important to this story is Lieutenant Colonel Nutt, N-U-T. This is a story, French murder probe, Saturday, March the 12th, 1983. The mystery surrounding the death of top French secret agent grew with speculation. Originally, there was a false suicide report, and then it turned out to be a murder. I'm going into the murder this week that was allegedly a suicide with a shotgun, but these murders followed right after the story began to become unglued that where Aja was lying and the gun was linking actually to the Galen organization in Germany. But this fellow was very close to, he was a French intelligence agent in Nice and in Cannes, who I believe has had the possible knowledge of also the Grace Kelly murder and the entanglement around the Monte Carlo area. A French intelligence agent was killed March 1983, and then in April we get the story that they indeed are getting to the French intelligence, the Americans, and the Italian intelligence, and that is the old Masonic Lodge group. And I think they had good reason to want the Pope dead. One, it would, as they said, it would be an act of war. They'd have an excuse to go into Poland and invade there. They could blame the KGB and heat up that Cold War and make it hotter. And two, Paul Marcinkus, who's hiding inside the Vatican, might get a reprieve if a new Pope was brought in. They might let up the investigation because they were hot on Marcinkus's trail just at the time the Pope was shot in May of 1981. Another story, April the 11th, 1983, new arrests in Italy, guns for drugs case. And this, again, goes back to the same case. The Italian Judge Palermo, the man responsible for investigating this case, he has arrested Carlo Bertoncini, B-E-R-T-O-N-C-I-N-I, the head of a six-man manufacturing company that sells parts to NATO for telecommunications, and another man, Vincenzo Giovannelli, G-I-O-V-A-N-N-E-L-L-I. His first name is V-I-N-C-E-N-Z-O. He transport weapons to Naples to the NATO bases under the United States Navy contract. Now, those two men, plus several others, according to the article, are linked to the P2 Masonic Lodge, which is the International Odessa Nazi Network. And so they made five new arrests this last week on that case. So they are getting a little closer than we get when we investigate those kinds of things here in the United States. I bring those up now because of the scandalous story of the murder of Mr. Duberstein, Mr. Waldo Duberstein. This is a terrible thing because these primary witnesses are just off one after the other when cases begin to be opened up. And it's very hard for researchers like myself and other researchers because the people that we have studied who have important links to these connections get wiped off, and then the people who write the official histories can continue to give you their version because the witnesses who would appear at trials and name other persons or links in these chains of conspiracy are off just before they appear. Now, this last week on the 28th, April 28th, the story over the Associated Press, ex-intelligence aide accused of selling secrets to Libya. He was accused, Waldo H. Duberstein, D-U-B-B-E-R-S-T-E-I-N. He was accused of selling secrets to Libya. The next day, he was dead. But he's an important man. He worked with the CIA from 1947 to 1971, and those were the years after Reinhard Galen had got it set up and was working with the CIA, Hitler's intelligence chief. And then Galen trained people like Gaddafi that Duberstein was supposed to be working with. He sent Otto Skorzeny down to the Middle East, in all of those countries, Egypt and Libya and Syria and all over the Middle East, to train Nazis directly from the Nazi Germany experiences to get ready for a bloodbath in that particular area and work with the Muslim and the Bormann Brotherhood. This guy was in the CIA from 1947 to 1971. Then he joined the Defense Intelligence Agency. So if he worked with that agency, he worked, again, with Fritz Kramer, and he worked with Alexander Haig, and he worked with Henry Kissinger in the Defense Intelligence Agency, because all these major operations of Task Force 157, which is Navy intelligence, all go under and work with Defense Intelligence Agents. So he was one of the highest people in our government at the highest level, working with a character such as Edwin Wilson, the likes of Edwin Wilson. The front page of the Chronicle had an interesting line. This is the way it says, "It's called a suicide. Man indicted as a spy found shot to death. Third fatality linked to CIA case." Now, isn't that amazing that after all these years, they're finally making some connections that three others, I have some other names linked to that case to share with you, that were killed just when they were about to testify, but they're giving us three at least, and they mentioned Kevin McCullahey, who was to testify against Mulcahy, M-U-L-C-A-H-Y, who was to testify against Edwin Wilson, who actually brought him in and was responsible for Wilson's having charges against him. And Rafael Villaverde, V-I-L-L-A-V-E-R-D-E. So this fellow, a shotgun, he's supposed to be sitting in a chair upstairs, then he's found down in a basement. The chair now has moved away from the rest of the house. It's in the basement in Arlington, Virginia. There's a shotgun barrel that evidently they said was put into his mouth, not questioned at all. The police got a telephone call from somewhere saying, go check out this house. He was supposed to be at court in the morning, that morning. And so this anonymous call says, go check it out. And they go there, and Duberstein is dead. If that isn't a giveaway that it's a murder, I don't know what is. Now, the other witnesses the newspaper mentioned, Kevin Mulcahy. There's a nice story in the National Times out of Australia, October the 11th. To November the 6th, 1982, the man who knew too much, former CIA official, spent years trying to ensure charges were laid against agency renegade Edwin Wilson. Last week, he was found dead under strange circumstances. He feared for his life. He was frightened of Wilson. Remember, Wilson was supposed to be charged with hiring different people to murder five people while he was in jail. And nobody mentioned the fact of Mulcahy's being wiped out, or now this Duberstein, this situation. Will anybody link him to that, to his contracts? What kind of power does he have in jail to get rid of these particular people? This one article about Kevin McCullough, he tells how he worked with him at Task Force 157 and with Navy intelligence, and that he was nervous about going public. He said that the FBI had unaccountably conducted a sluggardly investigation. See, the FBI is always a part of this. The CIA was thwarting it. They didn't want an expose of Edwin Wilson. So one week before he went to Houston, or just the weekend before he went to Houston, he was off and locked outside a cabin and was found dead. He was in the company of some females who were never called or interviewed, and probably part of the CIA assassination teams, and Kevin was wiped out. He was afraid he would be. Ted Rubenstein, a researcher up north in the Bay Area, found an article that didn't make the headlines. Another witness that worked with Edwin Wilson, "Death of Soldier of Fortune is Puzzling." This is from the Winston-Salem Journal, August the 30th, 1982. This is about a man named William Russell Cranford, C-R-A-N-F-O-R-D. And he worked for the police department in Fayetteville. He was a soldier of fortune. The police said he shot himself in his head. There were two bullets in the head, and later they found a third bullet that they thought, well, maybe that was one that he might have shot or tried to commit suicide a year before. On the table next to him when he was dead was two of his teeth, but the police couldn't explain how they got there. His brother, Donald, found another gun behind the record player the police hadn't found. Alcohol, tobacco, firearms, treasury, the FBI entered the case. 3 weeks before his death, he was summoned to New York to a federal grand jury. He was a suspect in blowing up a supermarket. He was photographed preparing the explosives. They believed he was hired by an organized crime family. He was active. In Vietnam, active in the U.S. Army for 20 years in the Green Beret Special Forces Army Intelligence. He retired from the Army in May 1973 and worked for the police Department, Fayetteville, like they said, South Carolina. He worked for the police department. Then he joined Edwin Wilson and dealt with his assassination hit teams and squads and dealt in his death plans and contracts 1977 to 78. He went to Ecuador in 1979 with a businessman and another member of the special forces named Jerry O'Neill. Now, O'Neill was indicted for transporting a submachine gun out of North Carolina that was used for a murder of another friend of his was involved in murdering a person, and this gun was the gun. Crawford's friend Bobby Freer, F-R-E-E-R, from Virginia Beach, Virginia, is now in jail for murdering a person using the gun that O'Neill transported. Now, he went down to Ecuador under the auspices of a Texas businessman. With business teams, they gave him false passports, they give him ID, they get him through customs. And the point is that all the federal agencies are allowing, I call them these the Odessa killers, to wipe out particular people, bring in guns, bring in drugs. Goodness knows who had the grocery store that was bombed in New York. This was linked to organized crime. Who gives them the passports? How do they get through customs? And he was offered money to go down there in Ecuador, and he called his family. He said, if you don't hear from me in 24 hours, he thought he might be dead or in jail. He came home through Atlanta, and he was okay. But he served the United States Army. He worked with the Army Intelligence. He worked with Edwin Wilson. He was down in Ecuador. He's with friends of the killers. He demolishes buildings. He has false passports. But just when he's about to testify at the grand jury in New York, and he worked with Edwin Wilson, he was offed and shot. Another guy that was shot was Mr. Morales, the part of a cloak and dagger operation, Ricardo Monkey Morales. He worked with Edwin Wilson also. And this was an important murder. This guy was sitting in a bar Christmas, just before Christmas, December 1982, and he got a .32 caliber to his head. He worked with the CIA most of his life. Mr. Morales was with the Central Intelligence Agency, worked with Edwin Wilson and E. Howard Hunt and the anti-Castro Cubans. And just when Wilson is to be brought in and all these scandals are surfacing, all of a sudden, Monkey Morales is wiped out. He used to brag about bombings. He blew up a 1976 Cuban airline where 73 died over Barbados with plastic explosives. He killed the Cuban fencing team, which he says was like the intelligence agency. He fought in the Belgian Congo for the CIA, 1963 to 64, where he bragged about killing hundreds of Africans. As a matter of fact, there's a team that was stopped from taking Dominica Island, Dominica, not Dominican Republic, but Dominica, run by the Klan and the Nazi Party from Canada and Kansas and Texas and Houston and Alabama. And it involved Robert Vesco, and even the name John Connolly came up. And one of the plans was to make it a headquarter for Nazis in Central America and bring in blacks from Africa to hunt and shoot them. I had one article, they were going to chase them, let them loose, and then practice training on people running around on this particular island. Well, Monkey Morales got experience. Now, those are the kinds of teams he worked with. He was in the Belgian Congo, as I say, worked with the CIA 20 years, and with Edwin Wilson, and just when he's to testify, he is offed. So Duberstein is one of a lot of them. I'll mention one more. We could do one evening of just these particular people. I often say I have a pile of current deaths in the last, say, 5 or 6 months I haven't updated, and these are the kind of things of primary witnesses, and The importance of this is that individually they don't mean anything to you and me, and you're not going to remember their names, and I probably won't after a period of time. Some of them I certainly will, but the important thing is that they're all linked to Edwin Wilson, Frank Turple, Theodore Shackley, Thomas Kleins, and Samuel Cummings of the CIA, the brother-in-law of Senator John Tower and Carlos the Terrorist, and the people who are killing and bombing individuals, synagogues, spreading terror, so that people like Claire Sterling can write a book, The Terror Network. And each one of them worked for our CIA, has worked for them, does work for them. And then after they've done all this killing and they're called as witnesses, then they themselves get killed. I don't feel sorry for Mr. Duberstein. You know, you live by the gun, and not everybody dies by the gun, you know, that gets that nice of one bullet in the head. But the point is that they've played dirty, and they thought, well, they would be immune from all of this, that they're something special. But when it comes time to testify, many of them, of course, part of their job is to be given suicide kits and off themselves. And if they don't, there's somebody to see that it's taken care of. Now, the other person who was murdered was a guy named Villaverde, Rafael Villaverde, R-A-F-A-E-L Villaverde. In March of 1982, he was on a ship outside of Miami, that area, when the ship blew up and the body was never seen and he was destroyed. He was about to identify Edwin Wilson's involvement in a plot to kill a Libyan in Egypt. He was over in Switzerland with his cohorts and with Edwin Wilson and was about to testify. Each one of these I mentioned to you was about to testify, okay? And he was part of an Operation TikToks defendant about narcotics, gun running, murders, CIA, and these are Nazis also with links to Central and South America and European Nazis and Otto Skorzeny. They're not a part of it, and they worked with the special forces that were trained by Hitler's agents. I've done programs on how the Green Berets were set up by men from Nazi Germany who had the expertise for these special forces. He was a key witness against Wilson of the CIA. He was a CIA-trained explosive expert. He was called in to subpoenaed for information on the murder of the Chilean ambassador Orlando Letelier and Ronnie Moffat. He was involved in cocaine traffic in Miami. He was recruited by the CIA 20 years ago before the Bay of Pigs and performed a number of, in quotes, missions for the CIA. He trained in demolition. He trained, they say, 100 others, and his name came up at the time that Juberstein died this week. It said in the fall of 82, a Cuban, Rafael Villaverde, who sources said would have testified about Wilson's involvement in an alleged plot to kill the Libyan dissident, died in a boating accident off of Miami. The boat blew up, and that was the end of Villaverde. And then, of course, as I say, there's a whole list. I can continue some more next week, but I think you get the point. When we try to give a view of history, when I try to give an overview of history, it is very hard sometimes to produce, you can't produce dead witnesses, you know, that's impossible. And so people say, where's your evidence, where's your information? But what they don't know is that the cases are called off because these people are killed. So that we're left with unfinished inquiries, the FBI dragging their feet, the CIA hiring these people, gunning them down and not investigating it. The guy who killed Morales in the bar, no charges. It's just a plain homicide, no charges, and so forth. So the offing of these people is very easy. Nobody checks it up, and they can travel with false identity and be involved with hit teams. All they have their immunity from the CIA, and they go into gun running and narcotics traffic, and they're used for hit teams. That's why the when Lucky Luciano of Murder Incorporated was released by Tom Dewey of New York to go to Italy and set up his narcotics operation in exchange for Murder Incorporated moving to Europe and beginning the narcotics traffic in the United States, we could use these killers who the Bay of Pigs people were involved with the Kennedy assassination. Frank Sturgis worked with all these people. We can use them as killers to wipe out witnesses to cases and continue the sequence of killing, whether it's civil rights leaders or labor union people or spokesmen for any organization or writers, newspaper people. They can be offed, and there's so much of it, you can't even be too paranoid in questioning who's going to be next and how is it happening. Just like in the Bay Area, in the last 2 weeks, Senator Burton, Congressman Burton, not Senator, from the House of Representatives, died. He was a terrible opponent of Mr. Watts and the land schemes that he had. And Charles McCabe died, they said, a stroke, a newspaper man who was so anti-Reagan and anti-Watts that he was always hammering away at them. So the two most vocal people against Ronald Reagan and James Watts died 2 weeks apart from apparent heart attack. how do you know what happened until years later when you see an article and somebody confesses maybe that they were a part of it? That's the only way you'd ever find out. Well, we're going to take a one-minute break now and get back. I'm going to go into the Hitler story, the Hitler diary, because I think it's fascinating. And I want to share some ideas with you about that and see what you think about that.